All right, you can open up to Revelation chapter 1, and you can also open up to Matthew chapter 5. Maybe put your finger in both places if you've got a Bible open, or you can just listen as we read from the Word of God today. We're looking at the seven Beatitudes of Revelation. So we've been going chapter by chapter, and now we're down to the last 10 weeks. We have chapter 18 through 22, and 10 weeks we'll finish the book of Revelation. But today there's a study on my heart that we see throughout the book of Revelation, these seven Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. And when you think of Beatitudes, I think of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the Beatitudes given in Israel, given by Jesus. Why don't you look at those? And then we'll look at the Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Most of us know the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, poor in spirit means you recognize spiritually that you're bankrupt. And blessed means the favor of God. That's when the favor of God can start moving in your life, when you recognize, hey, spiritually, I'm not such a good deal to God. I'm broken. I'm a sinner, and theirs is the kingdom of God. You can't come into the kingdom until you recognize your sinfulness. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it's when you recognize your sinfulness before a holy God that you mourn. Like, what a wretched sinner I am. Why do I do that? Why do I act like that? Why do I keep doing the things I don't want to do? And immediately God can begin to comfort you and save you. And blessed are the meek. That meek is a good way to think of it as me-ek. Yak, you know, me-ek. But it literally means strength under control. And it's a picture, Frankie talked about her charming. It's a picture about a powerful stallion being broken and brought under the master's control. That's what happens when we get saved. We recognize our sinfulness. We begin to mourn our condition. God's able to bring our lives under his control. For they shall inherit the earth. We're going to rule and reign with him. We read in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's amazing as you get saved and God breaks you. You just want to do what's right. For they shall be filled, or satisfied is a better translation. That's the most satisfying life, when you just want to do what's right in God's sight. You're always thinking that way. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God starts to do this work in your life that you're no longer critical. You're no longer harsh. You're no longer judgmental, cutting, exacting. My God, you start to become this like merciful, compassionate person. Isn't it interesting that, and Jesus says that the merciful will receive mercy. In another place, Jesus said, the same way you judge others, you're going to be judged. If you're a harsh, exacting, list-keeping, critical person, that's the way God's going to judge you. I don't know about you. I want mercy. If God's going to judge me by the way I judge others, boy, I want to be a merciful person. Blessed are the pure in heart, not clean in heart, but pure in heart is you're not soiled. You're not defiled. There aren't things corrupting you. And you could translate it polluting you. And that's connected to you seeing God. If you're letting things, if you're viewing things, if you're participating in things that are soiling you, that's why you're not seeing God. They're polluting your soul. That's why you're not seeing him. Other people are talking about knowing him. You don't know him. Because there's things in your life that are polluting you. And you need to repent of those things. And then blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God does this work in your life where you just so deeply begin to want other people to be at peace with God. And then blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. And a double blessing when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Two reasons. Great is your reward in heaven. And you're also in good company, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so those are the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes that we're the most familiar with. When we come to the book of Revelation, we read seven more Beatitudes. Now, there is one other Beatitude I think of that Paul tells us about. We don't have Jesus saying this, but Paul tells us in Acts 20, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's actually a, we don't know that naturally. Naturally, we just want to receive. We want more. We always want more. But actually, as the Lord works in your life, the more blessed life is when, that's Acts 20 to 35, is when you start giving. Man, it's beautiful to have the Lord in you, but when the Lord starts working through you, that's the blessed life. You know, when you raise kids, you usually have in the family a taker and you have a giver. And the church is the same way. You have those that are growing and they're generous and they're giving, and you have those that just come to take. They come to receive. But you know, you can only grow so much until God starts moving on you that he created you to be a giver. He wants you to learn to give. You can only grow so much till God, you know, starts dealing with you, that he wants you to start giving of your tithes, giving of your offerings, giving of your time, giving of your life, giving your, using your talents. You don't want to be burying what God has put in you. You want to learn to let that blossom and start giving and let God start using you. You know, a lot of times when people will come to a new church, maybe you're new to Calvary, and you just need to sit for a while and just receive. Like you're broken or hurt, or you're just needing to receive, and that's a normal thing too. You just receive and receive and receive, but then there comes the time, it's now time to start giving. And you know, I felt a word in my heart when I was telling you that story earlier about the sister. She had a change of heart. I felt that so strong after I spoke that and sat back down, that there are folks here today, you're going to have a change of heart today. Something's going to change in you. But let's look at these Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. The first one you can follow along is in chapter 1. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. That is, blessed means the favor of God. You know, a lot of churches say, oh, you can't teach the book of Revelation. Are you kidding me? It's the exact opposite. There's a blessing in the context. The Greek language literally is, there's a blessing on the one who reads it out loud. That would be me. I get a blessing just for reading these verses to you. And there's a blessing on those who hear the words. You're going to be blessed just hearing what you're going to hear read out of the book of Revelation today. And those who keep those things that are written in it, for the time is near. So there's a real blessing with the book of Revelation, because over and over and over again, you start hearing that the time of Jesus coming is near. And you know, Jesus desires that every generation of the church lives with this awareness that he could come. And that will change your life. I want you to be really honest. I want you to search here. If you knew December 31st, 2026, Jesus was coming, for sure, you knew it, what would you change? That's why I'm in the ministry. That question changed my life. What would you change? What would you do different? That's what happens in us when we start reading the book of Revelation. We know the Lord is coming. And look at the next beatitude, the next blessing. It's in chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed, or the favor of God, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Well, that doesn't sound like a blessing. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Well, what's happening? And you look at your half sheet of paper, And you read the book of Revelation and chapters 2 and 3, the church age, and five of the seven churches, Jesus just keeps telling the church, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon. Chapter 4, a door opens up in heaven. Chapter 5, a group that could only be the church is now raptured around the throne of God. Chapter 6, the judgment begins. And we've been talking about how one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen is coming in the coming judgment. And we're reading the book of Revelation, chapter 7. People from it's exciting to read it, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people are going to get saved. John says the number was so great, you can't number it. It's innumerable. One of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. Because what's going to happen in our world is what's happening in our world right now. People are either going to get harder and harder and harder and more against God, or people are going to get softer and softer and they're going to turn to God. And this is talking about those who turn, and in the book of Revelation, in order to be saved, once the church is in heaven, you're going to have to be martyred for your faith. So, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. Now, that's interesting, because chapter 2 and 3, it's, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Over and over, the Spirit is speaking to the churches. The Spirit is speaking to the churches, all seven churches, and then that ends. No longer do you read of the Spirit saying to the churches. Now it just says, yes, says the Spirit. Now he's just talking to anyone who will be saved and be martyred for their faith. They will rest from their labors. That is, I'm talking about laboring to the point of exhaustion. Interesting. And their works will follow them. Now, that's interesting that we're not saved by good works. You can't do better to be saved. You have to receive the free gift of salvation. But man, once you're saved, if you're really saved, you want to work. Faith without works is dead. If you just have a faith in Jesus, but it's not changing your life, that faith can't save you. Faith that saves you works. You want to labor. You want to use your life. You don't want to bury what you have. Just watch others be used. You want to use. There's something in you. There's a gift in you. There's a work in you. There's things God has for you. And as you walk in those things, you know, they say you can't, when you die, you can't take anything with you. That's true, except for all of your works. That will be treasures stored up in heaven, Jesus said. Don't store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, Jesus said. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Be part of all those works that God has for you. Let's look at the next beatitude, chapter 16, verse 15. By the way, all these are online. If you don't have a Bible and you're just listening, you can find the notes. Behold, Revelation 16, 15, behold, I'm coming as a thief. This is the book of Revelation. Jesus is, I'm coming. A thief means people aren't going to be ready. Jesus said people are going to be eating, they're going to be getting drunk, they're going to be marrying, they're going to be, you know, giving their children in marriage, and the world we live in is just going to say this is going to go on forever and ever. We've evolved for millions and millions of years, and we're in a world that's just going to go on for millions and millions of years. It's a lie. And he's going to come, and there's going to be people that aren't ready. They don't know the Lord, and they're going to be left behind to face the judgment of God. And blessed is he who watches. Right? So the church, the message we from Matthew to Revelation is we're to be watching. We're to understand what's going on in our world. We're to be able to see the signs of the times. Do you know it's never happened in the history of the world that a nation has ceased to exist and then 1900 years later become a nation again? But God said that's exactly what's going to happen in the nation of Israel. In a day, a nation is going to be born. And that nation has grown from the 800,000 in 1948 to almost 10 million Jews today. 350,000 Jews from around the, I'm sorry, 3.5 million Jews from around the world have returned to their homeland. Anybody who knows the Bible knows something's happening. And the signs are all around us that we're moving towards a one-world government. Our world is going to get to the place where everyone's going to want someone to fix this mess. We're moving towards a cashless society. That's exactly what we read about in the book of Revelation. And we're to be watching and knowing, wow, the times we're living, and I understand the times we're living, and blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. Keeps his garments means that, you know, as someone that's saved, you realize that when you're saved, you're clothed in the white garments of Christ, bright and clean. That's how Jesus saves you and clothes you, but we get dirty. Frankie was talking about sudsing up charming. We need to be wash. Now, in the West, we practice physical hygiene. Most of us have learned to shower every day. That's not the case everywhere in the world. I have a friend, he tried to pastor a church for a while in Germany, and they had to send people home because they smelled so bad when they came in the church, people left. They didn't shower. I don't know if it's the diet or they just don't shower. But they had to require them. When you come to church on Sunday, you have to shower before you come. We don't want people to leave because of you. But you know, there's such thing as spiritual hygiene. We don't need to be saved over and over again, but there's things that, you know what, I've become dirty. And we need to confess that. And if we confess our filth to the Lord, our soiled, our pollution, he'll cleanse us. And you know, the Bible teaches that the reason we spend time in the Bible is because it washes us. When you're reading, you're always being washed. The filth is coming off you, the soil. You don't need to be saved again, but you do need washed. And Jesus says, well, you need to be watching, and we need to keep our garments bright and clean. That's the only way we're going to be a glorious church. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, the opposite of someone who has garments of salvation is someone who's still naked. You haven't yet been clothed with the right righteousness of Christ. What about you? Have you trusted Jesus in a way that's how God sees you, white and clean, because your garments have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we learn in the book of Revelation? That's called being saved. And Jesus warns about those that even though others are saved, they're not saved. Maybe that describes you. Maybe others are saved, but you're not saved yet. Let's look at the next beatitude, Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called, or called means invited, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're just two chapters away to teach on the marriage supper of the Lamb. I actually can't wait to teach it to you. It's not only blessed that you were invited. What's being described here are those that were invited and responded and are part of the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is contrasted to Once the church is raptured, we learned last week that there's coming a religious world religion that's called the harlot. And people that aren't going to be part of the bride of Christ are going to be deceived to be part of a one world, ecumenical, bloodless, crossless religion that is, it's the harlot. And the Antichrist is going to use this false religious system until we learn chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. He's going to turn on the harlot and devour her. And we read here of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and all of those who aren't part of the marriage supper of the Lamb and don't receive the gospel and are martyred, they're going to be part of what we're going to learn in chapter 19 is called the supper of the great God. It's judgment. You're either going to be the bride of Christ, part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You were invited and you responded. Right, that's the gospel, invites us. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Whoever you are, if you're thirsty, you can drink of the water of life freely. It doesn't cost you anything. It costs Jesus everything. Will you be part of the bride of Christ? If anyone desires to come after me, you got to deny yourself. Stop living for yourself. Take up your cross, put to death the self-life, and follow me daily. You'll either be part of the bride of Christ, or in the book of Revelation, we read of the supper of the great God. Let's look at the next beatitude, verse chapter 20. So you're just flipping through with me, verse 6. You know, I've taught the book of Revelation two times. This is my third time. I've never seen these. So it's kind of fun to discover these beatitudes together. Blessed, chapter 20, verse 6, or the favor of God. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection begins with the rapture of the church, if you look at your diagram. And when we get to chapter 20, we'll read the end of the first resurrection is when all of those who are martyred in the tribulation, they're resurrected. And blessed and holy is he who's part of this first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. You can look at your diagram, the coming. That's called the millennium. And we're going to reign with Christ. But look at the phrase, the second death. What is the second death? Because it doesn't sound good. I want to be part of the first resurrection when the Lord comes for his church. The second death is all of the unsaved throughout all the ages. They're going to be resurrected to stand before the great white throne of God. We're going to study in chapter 20. Again, just 10 weeks left and we'll be finished. And everyone's name who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the eternal lake of fire. This is the second death. First death is when your soul is separated from your body. Second death is when your soul is separated from God for eternity. And you know, you need to understand that God didn't create hell for men or for women. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But if you fail to turn to Christ, you'll have the same end as the devil and his angels. And then we look at the sixth beatitude, chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I'm coming quickly. You know, people think, oh, I always have time. I'll always have time to get right with God. It's not so. In a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the church is going to be gone. And there'll be those that are left behind. What about you? Are you saved? Say, that kind of scares me. Well, it shouldn't scare you. Should excite you, man. The Lord's coming. I'm excited. I'm ready to stand before him. The life I've lived, I want to stand before the Lord. Blessed is that person. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps. So this is interesting. This is kind of repeated all through the book of Revelation. We started in chapter 1. The blessed is the person who reads it. Blessed is the person who hears it. But it's more than just hearing it. You've got to keep it. It's got to be changing your life. It's got to be something that you're living out. And that's what you just keep reading. You read it here in chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. That's how you want to read the Bible. You're just always reading it with a heart to apply it. You're always listening with a heart that you want to do it. That's just a great way to read. Sometimes it's a great way to read, hey, I'll just read until the Lord speaks to me. Maybe it's only one verse. He's already speaking to me. I can do that. Maybe it takes a whole chapter. That's just a great way to read until God gives you something you can start doing. Blessed is he. The favor of God is on people that, you know, Jesus said that there's a wise man and a foolish man. And the wise man is the person that hears my words and he does them. And Jesus says that man will be like a man building his house on the rock. And when the rains come and the storm comes and the wind blows, that person's life is solid, built on the rock. But there's a whole nother group of people, and they also hear the words of Jesus, but that's all they do. They just hear it. They never do it. And Jesus said that person is like the person who builds their life on the sand. And the storms come, the trials come, the winds blow, the waters rise, and that house falls. And Jesus says, and great is its fall. It was just a facade. They just looked like a believer. But they weren't doers. They were the fool instead of the wise. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Be blessed. The favor of God is on those that, oh, your heart's so beautiful. You just love Jesus. You just are always learning and always applying and always doing, always growing. You're walking in works. That's beautiful. That's fruit. That's evidence that it's not just faith without works, which is a dead faith, but it's, and could you just ask yourself, is your faith real? Are you actually living out a life of walking with Jesus and walking in the things he has for you and using your gift? Or is it all just words? Like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but it's all it is just a word. And then the last beatitude, chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments. And here it is again, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter through the gates, look at this, into the city. What city? Okay, we got 10 chapters left. We're going to read about the New Jerusalem in contrast to the Antichrist kingdom and capital, which is Babylon. So next week, we're going to study chapter 18. Babylon, that great city, is fallen. This world is temporal and passing away, but the New Jerusalem is the eternal city to God. So let's read it again. Blessed are those who do his commandments, but they may have right. It's not talking about them earning the right to be saved, but it's the right means their faith is real. And therefore they have, because it's real, they have right to the tree of life. and they entered through the gates. Boy, we're going to read all about the new Jerusalem. These are some of the best chapters now that we finish the book of Revelation. And we'll discover what's ahead for us as believers. But, you know, there's actually a conflict on this verse that Bible scholars, some Bibles translate it, blessed are those who do his commandments. There's an argument among scholars, what's more accurate, the manuscripts that we're finding everywhere or the manuscripts that are the oldest? So if you have a New King James Bible, then you're reading the majority text. That is, that's what they found in the majority of all the archaeological record. If your Bible reads, blessed are those who wash their robes, that's taken from the oldest texts. So there's a little bit of dispute as to what's more accurate. Both are beautiful. Blessed are those who wash their robes. So if you've been reading the book of Revelation, that is, you've washed your robes in the blood of Christ. The favor of God is on you. Your robes have been made white, glorious, white, and clean. Because you're going to have the right to the tree of life. In that context, why do we have the right to the tree of life? Because of Jesus. We're going to partake of eternal life, the new Jerusalem. So we'll just finish there. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you read of the tree of life. And Adam and Eve sinned, and they were driven out of the garden. And it says that an angelic being called a cherub was placed there, those first three chapters of Genesis. And it's interesting, you read about it, he had a flaming sword that went in all directions, north, south, east, west, to keep sinful Adam and Eve from going back in and partaking of the tree of life and living eternally as sinful. That's interesting. That what kept them from the tree of life was a flaming sword going in all directions. Because that's the only way back to the tree of life. It's at the cross that Jesus took the fiery wrath that we deserve, and he's made entrance back to the garden. That which was lost in Adam, that which has been lost by man's sin, has been restored through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, would you? Would you set things aside? You have the worship team come back up. Beautiful that the sun comes back out on us, those of us that are in the sun. And let's just take a moment. Could you set everything aside and set things down that would be a distraction to you? And, you know, those of you that know the Lord, that, you know, if there's anything that you're aware of that's soiling you, anything aware that's dirty, anything that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind that's it's corrupting you, anything that has polluted you, you don't need to be saved again. Just ask the Lord. Lord, I feel dirty. Just would you cleanse me? If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Just ask the Lord, Lord, cleanse me. Wretched man that I am. Why do I do what I don't want to do? And just ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to be that person. Just ask him, would you just make me white? Make my garments white and clean again. Jesus doesn't want you to be living in condemnation. He doesn't want you to be living in shame. You don't have to do penance now. You don't have to, you know, go through several weeks of doing better to be forgiven. No, you can be forgiven immediately. Just ask the Lord, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, wash me. Lord, I confess it to you. But it may be that you're not yet saved. You haven't yet been broken and brought under the master's control. And today's a day that you realize how spiritually broken you are. Spiritually, you're bankrupt. And you've never come to Christ in such a way that he's broken you, and you've come under his control. And you just hunger and thirst to do what's right and to be merciful and pure and a peacemaker and even willing to be persecuted and even martyred for your faith. That hasn't happened in you yet. And if you don't know if you've ever been made clean and white in the blood of Jesus Christ, right where you sit, you could know. Salvation is the miracle of a moment. It could miraculously happen for you right where you sit. You could tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm broken. I'm sinful." Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous. If you don't know you're sinful, you can't be saved. But he came to save sinners. And you could tell the Lord, "Lord, I need forgiven of my sin. I need the cross. I mourn who I am. I'd hate who I am. I hate my sinfulness." And the Lord will immediately comfort you if you'll pray that. "Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me." He'll immediately save you. He'll immediately break you of yourself. And you can tell the Lord, "Lord, I want that. I want my life to be brought under your control. You're now the master of my life. I repent of my sin." You can't be saved without repentance. That just means you're telling God, "God, I don't want sin anymore. I want you. I want to make you first in my life. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to follow you." And if that's never happened, let it happen right now. Just tell the Lord. I want you to use these words. You can pray it. "Lord, I want to cross over the line, and I want to know today that I'm saved. I want to know that I belong to you. That when you come, I'll be in that number. The bride of Christ. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, I want that." And if that's you this morning, you can, you know, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to just be able to start doing it in your own strength. But you can pray right now, "Holy Spirit, fill me and change me. I want a change of heart." Maybe that was a word for you. "God, I need a change of heart. Holy Spirit, would you fill me and change me? I want to leave different today. I want to leave as your follower." You could pray that. "I want to leave as your follower the rest of the days of my life." And I'm going to give an opportunity just while our heads are bowed. And not for the person that's already saved. If you're already saved and you need cleansing, you can take care of that and you can confess that. But I want to give opportunity maybe for the one person that this is the day for you to cross the line. And you did pray that. You did utter it, "Lord, I'm repentant of my sins." You did pray, "Holy Spirit, fill me." And you were longing to be a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away, all things new, the Bible says. He gives you a new beginning. If that's you, would you just hold up your hand? I want to pray for you. How powerful that's happening in you. And just say, "Pastor Rob, that is me. That I did pray that. I do want to cross that line today." Just hold it up where I could see it. Yep, beautiful. Isn't that special? Just a young woman, just so gently raising her hand, looking at me, saying, "I want that." Anyone else today that you were, that really what I'm asking is, were you praying that? If you were praying that, if you crossed the line, then now would be the time to not hide, but to say, "No, Pastor Rob, I did pray that. I was asking to cross the line." Anyone else today? It was a crossing the line moment. It's a you were wanting to be saved this morning and know that you're part of the bride of Christ. And you just hold up your hand where I can see it, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray over you. Anyone else today? Repentance in your heart, crying out that the Lord would save you. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you then deny me before men, then I'll deny you. And this would, in a sense, be that opportunity for you. Are you going to confess him before men, or are you going to deny him? Anyone else today, this was your salvation moment, and you would just say, Pastor Rob, that it is my salvation moment, and I do want to confess Jesus Christ, that he would save me. You'd have to hold it up where I could see it. Yep, beautiful. Takes a while. Another young woman, just beautiful. Anyone else want to be counted in that? Because, yep, three of you. Hold it up where I can see it. Yep, another woman, a baby in hand. That's so beautiful. And Mom, you can just, those that raise your hand, you can just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. I receive it. Thank you that you're changing me today. By faith, I believe that. Anyone else today? Yep, that's neat. Both of you together. That's an honor. And you just thank the Lord for saving you. Anyone else? God giving you the opportunity to cross the line or not. You know, a lot of times people come right up to the line. They feel the light. They see the light. They experience the light. They love the light, but they won't cross the line. It's a common thing. People will get right there and they go, no, I don't know if I want to cross the line. Well, that's your decision. But if this is a day that you're crossing the line, why don't you hold your hand up and go, yeah, this is my day. I don't want to just come to the line. I want to cross the line.